I'd like to speak to you today on baptism. So if you would, join me at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We have experienced a wonderful sacrament here. So I'd like to speak to you about baptism. And I would like to address the issue of God's intention in this sacrament instituted by our Lord Jesus Christ for His church. What does it mean? What does it mean to be baptized? I'd like to read to you, as I said, from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 5 to begin with. Actually, 1 through 4. Paul writes to the church in Corinth, "For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers, that our forefathers were all under the cloud and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ." I pray the Lord's blessing on the reading of His Word. So what is baptism? I want us to be very clear, because we live in a community of faith that for some, baptism has taken on some far-reaching meaning. And so I want to be clear. First of all, from the directory of worship, I'd like to read again what I read to you earlier, a portion of what I read to you earlier about this idea, this sacrament of baptism, pointing out a few things. First of all, the sacrament of baptism is God's word to us, testifying to God's covenant of grace, setting forth and confirming His gracious promises and righteous demands. It is a sign and a seal of God's covenant in the gospel. Baptism marks out those who belong to this covenant, putting a visible and tangible difference between them and the rest of the world. And here's the sentence I'd like to emphasize. The name of the triune God is placed upon them when I baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This signifies that those who are baptized belong to God and not to themselves, and so must live according to God's covenant and commandments. Baptism is a visual confirmation of a covenant, of the covenant God made with His people. Baptism reveals God's ownership. People. He is our God forever. This is what baptism signifies. It is also important to note that baptism is not, at first, to be regarded as an act to show our dedication to Him. And here is where some of the confusion comes in some points. Now, yes, when Jeff and Tammy brought their children here, when Chase made that confession, he confessed his belief in Jesus Christ, and being baptized, him bringing himself to be baptized, does show his heart, does show his place, that he is, in fact, a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. But that is not the first and most important meaning of baptism. We have some in the community of faith that want to make baptism this rededication of yourself to God, this giving of yourself again to God. I'll never forget, excuse me, my multiple conversation with Marley. Marley wanted to be baptized again. She was baptized as a child. And when she grew up, I guess 13 or 14, somewhere in there, she really began to show her religious, her faith began to really be obvious. And she wanted to be baptized again. And she asked me repeatedly, "Daddy, I'd like to be baptized again." I said, "Marley, no, because you were baptized already." And baptism is not about our dedication to God. Baptism is about your belonging to God. She'd go away for a while. And then after some time, she'd come back again. But she was not baptized again. And I don't know if she ever really clearly understood why. But I had to be true to what baptism is. It is a mark that sets the baptized out separate from the world and signifies you belong to God. Baptism is a sign. It is a sign of God that He has established a relationship. It's a sign of ownership. It's a seal, sealing you, all of us who have been baptized, as the people of God. Now, in our text, this phrase is used, baptized into Moses. Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, and they've had questions. And so Paul is trying to bring them together in unity, and he's using an Old Testament example to show their unification as a people and a unification as a people of God. He says the Israelites were baptized into Moses. Now, what does that mean? Well, very much the same thing. That they were God's people. And God had made a promise to them through Abraham that He would be their God and they would be His people. He also made promises to rescue them and to bring them out of captivity. They belonged to Him, and He wanted to rescue them. And so, these people, the Israelites, were baptized into Moses, meaning they were baptized into the direction. They were baptized into God's plan of redemption through Moses and His leading them out of captivity. So just as the Israelites were baptized into Moses and followed His direction as it was given to him by God, here today I baptized in the triune God, not Moses and not Christ alone. So just as the Israelites were baptized into Moses, meaning Moses was God's representative to the people, and He led the people as God desired. Well, we don't need that mediator anymore with the coming of Jesus Christ. We are now led by the triune God. So the baptismal formula, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So just like the Israelites were baptized into Moses and followed His leading, His direction, we do that today with God. But there is a caution here in our text. Baptism cannot be seen as a religious activity alone. God was not pleased with the Israelites. He was not pleased with the life activities of the children as Moses led them out of captivity. Follow me now as I read from verse 5 through verse 22. Nevertheless, Paul writes, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered over the desert. Now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in pagan revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 of them died. We should not test the Lord as some of them did and were killed by snakes. And do not grumble as some of them did and were killed by the destroying angel. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry. I speak to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of one loaf. Consider the people of Israel. Do not those who eat the sacrifices participate in the altar? Do I mean then that a sacrifice offered to an idol is anything, or that an idol is anything? No, but the sacrifices of pagans are offered to demons, not to God. And I do not want you to be participants with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. You cannot have a part in both the Lord's table and the table of demons. Are we trying to arouse the Lord's jealousy? Are we stronger than His? Without going into a tremendous amount of detail of what I read, I simply wanted you to see that the children of Israel were baptized into Moses. They were rescued from captivity. They were provided for daily with manna, the rock that Moses hit with his staff, which represented Christ, the water, the food, the leaving captivity. All of that was provided for them. Yet they grumbled and they stumbled. They worshipped idols. They worshipped in pagan ways. The baptism into Moses had no significance in their life. And God was not pleased. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands died in discipline because of their disobedience. If we today confine our baptismal beliefs to the activities that we just participated in, then we are no different than the Israelites. And God will not be pleased with us. Being baptized into Moses was a daily life event. Their whole existence as they came out of Egypt, their whole existence depended on their obediently following the direction of Moses and the elders. Today, we live out our baptism in the direction given us by God through Jesus Christ. I wish we were more closely aligned to God in those ways, and our existence depended on it. But we see ways out, and we see other ways. And God is graceful to us in this time. We are to live every day in the reality that we belong to God. Our lives belong to God. And we are to live as He prescribes. I ask Jeff and Tammy, I ask every one of you who have brought children here to be baptized, will you teach the children? Will you teach the children? Will you lead the children? And I know Jeff and Tammy well, and I know they will. And I know you will. We cannot take this lightly, because that baptism signifies that we belong to God and our lives are not our own. I have recently been appointed trustee for Erskine College and Seminary. I would appreciate your prayers in that regard. But as a trustee, the word trustee has a very simple definition. A trustee is one who cares for something on behalf of another. We have trustees in this church. Reed, Steve, and David, I think, are our trustees, if I'm not mistaken. These men have responsibility to this church. in civil affairs in our community. They're not to act on their own. They are trustees in the civil arena on behalf of the church. And so they look out for the well-being of the church in those areas. Well, as a trustee for Erskine College and Seminary, I have, along with all the other trustees, care for the college and seminary, not as I desire, but as the church desires. The ARP Church, which owns Erskine College and Seminary. I can't walk into that board and say, okay, this is the way I want to do things. That's not a trustee. That's more like a board of directors. And that's not what that board is. A board of trustees works on behalf of another, caring for. As a child of God, I think a similar analogy can be made. My life has been purchased by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I have been baptized. I was baptized in the Chagee River of upstate South Carolina in March. It was cold. But my life does not belong to me. That baptismal mark set me apart from the world and said, just like these children, I belong to God. So I, as the liver of this life, as the one who lives out this life, live it according to the decrees and commands of God, not myself. We use the word stewardship a lot in church circles. Stewardship means to care for, using the responsibly resources that are made available to us, and using them in a good and right fashion. Well, you can use the same word for your life. You are a steward of a life that belongs to God for the period of time that you have existence on this earth. Baptism reveals all of that. Baptism reveals ownership. Baptism also reveals the direction my life should be lived. Not as I see it, not as I would like to do, but as the commandments of God give me to do. Today we baptized these two children, Chase and Chastity. They belong to God. Jeff and Tammy have stewardship of those two lives. Now, Chase, in his profession of faith, just stepped outside of that stewardship. Not entirely, Chase. But now he stands before Christ on his own. And he's responsible, just like I am. Baptism reveals that. All of us in this room who have been baptized have a mark on us. The water sprinkling down over us marks us. In the Old Testament, they did it with circumcision. Now we do it with baptism. And it marks me. It marks you, saying, you do not belong to you. You belong to God. You are a steward of this life. And as Paul is encouraging the church in Corinth to be unified, not living to the indulgences you think are fun and nice, but living unified to the commandments and the teachings of God. The same instruction is given to us here. We are now, forever, and ever unified with God as one body for all eternity. The questions for us: Do we understand? Do we comprehend this reality? Do we live our lives as though the unity symbolized in baptism is in fact a reality? Are we good trustees of our lives on God's behalf? Are we good stewards, living our lives to the commandments of God? Because this life is not ours. It belongs to God. And so I pray that we all rethink the significance of baptism in our lives. And that sign, that mark, that seal that I belong to God. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bring these truths to our hearts and minds, that we might know them, that we might live them, that we might be the children that you desire, and that we might live the lives that would bring great blessing and glory to you. In Christ's name, amen.